With Climatize, you can go and download the app. We're currently on iOS and we'll be launching on the Android platforms here in the next 2 weeks. And from there, you can sign up an account, make your account in a matter of 5 minutes. And after that, it takes about 30 seconds to invest into a renewable energy project in your community. And you can see the story of the families and the businesses that are helping, that are raising this money to put the system on their roof. You can see the tangible output of your money and get updates as that project is built and really kind of feel that connection that you're actually being an active stakeholder and playing a real role in the energy transition, helping communities decarbonize, creating local jobs.
Welcome to Care More, Be Better, a podcast for people like you who care about the social impact of conscious companies and everyday heroes. Hear inspiring stories from those who put people and planet before profit and personal gain. You'll learn how you can make a difference, vote with your dollars, and get involved today. Here's your host, Karina Balizzi.
Hello, fellow do-gooders and friends. I'm your host, Karina Balizzi. Today, we're going to go on a journey once more into the world of climate optimism as we embrace possibility and the impact we can all make with Will Wiseman. Will has spent the past 10 years in renewable energy, during which time he has played every role in the solar industry across finance, project management, and construction, where he built 15 solar arrays. As CEO and co-founder of Climatize, Will has financed over 2 million of community solar projects. He holds a Master of Science in Renewable Energy Engineering from KTH, the Royal Institute of Technology. Will is a Santa Cruz native in my neck of the woods and resident who enjoys spending as much time as possible in our mountains and at our oceans. And just like when I host health-related podcasts and conversations, there's a disclaimer that I simply have to read as I get started today. So bear with me for a moment. The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be construed as investment advice. The views and opinions expressed here are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent any financial institution or professional advice. It is important to conduct your own research before making any investment decisions. Remember, investments always invoke risks, and past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. So with that, we'll get right to it. Will Wiseman, welcome to the show.
Karina, thank you so much for having me. I've been really looking forward to recording this conversation. And what a better platform than to come and speak to your audience of people all looking to make the world a better place.
Yeah, well, we try, right? And that's really the goal here. I really like to start interviews with people like you who are working to make such a significant difference through their work life to really get a feel for what brought you to this moment, what helped you to build Climatize. I understand this isn't the first would-be iteration, so please share.
Sure, yeah. So my journey into climate started at a very young age. I had a unique upbringing in that my father was a marine biologist, is a marine biologist. And so through that, I was very lucky to be able to, you know, go and explore many of these very pristine natural ecosystems. But over the course of my life, I saw the very rapid degradation of those ecosystems. And so that was what ultimately inspired me to really consider climate as a career. And so I actually left a job at a particle physics lab here at UCSC to start solar panels on roofs in high school. And that helped me pay my way through college. And kind of fast forward many years later, I had worked in energy markets internationally, large-scale electrical project management in that solar construction world. And really didn't feel like that was necessarily the impact that I wanted to have throughout my career. And that was when I went back to go get my graduate degrees and did that internationally. And while I was completing those master's degrees, I started working with my co-founder, and she and I joined the global climate strikes back in 2019. And we saw 100,000 people protesting in the streets for climate action. And it was this striking turnout of hope and motivation. There were so many people that really wanted to see the world do better. And yet it struck us that we were all going to go home and the next day, nothing was going to be different. And to us, if you got 100,000 people together and their best option was what? To make a cardboard sign? That was a glaring problem. And that was when we really began this journey on Climatize and really seeing how can we enable the everyday person to be an active stakeholder in the energy transition. And as we interviewed over 250 people, we came to our core thesis from those interviews that many people feel like climate change is an urgent problem, but they feel powerless to make a difference. And that's where Climatize comes in to help people really put their dollars to work, investing directly into clean energy projects in their community. And through that, you can earn a competitive return on investment, but really see a tangible outcome and kind of pull out, remove much of the fog that happens in kind of environmentally related financial products or carbon credits, and really give you a way to see A to B where your money goes. And often the projects that are then, you know, being funded through Climatize, we found from my experience as a renewable energy developer that despite the really beneficial impacts to communities, these small to medium scale projects really struggle to attract funding. And that's because the big Wall Street banks, they want to go chase those big $100 million projects. Then these smaller projects, they're maybe larger than what community lenders are really willing to do. And additionally, they may not understand either the technology or economics behind those projects. And so Climatize is an easy and transparent way for you to invest in renewable energy projects across the U.S. and earn up to 10% per year with as little as $10 to start.
So moving this into the world of being able to microfinance it in a way, crowdfund it from community, enables you to access different revenue streams than you otherwise might. Typically, a lot of the businesses that are trying to build in your arena are looking for investors with significant funds to put multi-millions of dollars into the pockets of those do-gooders to get started, so to speak. So what makes this so different? And how does it enable you to get to work today? Or does it enable you to more adequately get to work today to fund these projects?
Yeah, it's a great question. So really, part of the big difference of what we're building is in traditional kind of public equities, where you might invest in an ESG fund or an ETF that maybe specializes in climate-focused companies. With that, at best, you're putting your money in the equity of those companies, and that may help them scale, but you never really know what the impact of that money is. Through Climatize, you're actually picking specific projects in a community. Say, for example, there was a project that was solar on a Shakespeare theater in New Jersey. With that, there's a tangible, specific project that is raising that capital. And on Climatize, there have been two models, one in which they're actually raising the construction financing for the projects, and then that's actually helping bring that project to life. Or there's a second set where essentially, it's an operating project, and the developer, the renewable energy project developer, they're actually using that asset as collateral and the contracted cash flows of that solar project to pay the interest. And they're using that to raise debt funding so they can go build other projects.
Okay. Well, I think we just lost the attention span of perhaps half of our audience by talking too much about fintech. So just to keep this kind of top line, so my audience can kind of stay with us through this conversation, and I'm not saying, I'm sure that there are CFOs listening that just absorbed every single bit of that, but for everyone else who perhaps didn't enjoy the finance classes in business school, I really would like to help the audience understand how this enables them to make an impact and how easy it could be. One of the conversations we had earlier on in this podcast was an interview with Zach Stein of the Carbon Collective. And he helped us understand. I understand you guys know each other, so you can hobnob about that at a later date. But he helped us understand that we could change the way we 401k, right? Like that these 401ks can be built around funding projects and investments that are greener instead of just going to mutual funds led by Chase Bank, who puts more dollars into fossil fuel than any other lending institution at the present time. So I'm hoping you can help give us kind of more of that top line, because I understand, I think there's even an app that helps people to do this work and really check out what their options might be if they're interested in funding a project like this.
Yeah. So with Climatize, you can go and download the app. We're currently on iOS and we'll be launching on the Android platforms here in the next 2 weeks. And from there, you can sign up an account, make your account in a matter of 5 minutes. And after that, it takes about 30 seconds to invest into a renewable energy project in your community. And you can see the story of the families and the businesses that are helping, that are raising this money to put the system on their roof. You can see the tangible output of your money and get updates as that project is built and really kind of feel that connection that you're actually being an active stakeholder and playing a real role in the energy transition, helping communities decarbonize, creating local jobs.
That's amazing. So just from the perspective of someone who may have some exposure to, let's just say, E-Trade or another platform like that, is it as simple to buy and sell as you might on one of those platforms? And I have to apologize, having not had the opportunity to check out the app, as I am an Android girl.
Yeah, so it's as simple to set up an account. With these are not liquid investments. So you are waiting until the construction is completed, and then the developer will be able to pay you back. Or in the other set, you know, you're going to have to hold that to term. So currently, it's structured a little bit more like a CD or a bond rather than, say, a stock where you could buy and sell it.
Okay, so you'd be holding on to it for the term of the project, essentially. And that could be a couple of years or something along those lines.
Yes, exactly. 2 to 5 years currently.
That's fantastic. All right. So as we deepen our understanding here, I would really like to help people get why this is really so innovative. How do we get them to kind of grab hold of that, understand why they might want to check it out, and ultimately help them feel like they are empowered to push for that change in their local communities too?
Yeah, definitely. So over the last year, there was a lot of public conversation about pros and cons, and there's probably a whole conversation to be had around that. Part of the innovation of Climatize is being able to see the final output of your money, that you can put it directly to building projects that help decarbonize the energy system. And you can see the family that's ultimately the project is going to be on their roof. And if you wanted to, you can even go drive and see the final product of your money. And that is so different than any other kind of investment option that you have when it comes to sustainability currently.
Yeah, I think about this from the perspective of when you, let's say, we have an initiative on a ballot and it's for a sales tax and we want to see a park get redone or something to that effect. Often we vote for that thing and we, whether or not we have a say in it, we don't necessarily see the impact of it sometimes for years longer than we thought we would. And we don't really have a way to access that or really to see what is accountably happening. And so it sounds like your platform corrects for that. And you've got these shorter term, because 2 to 5 years to me doesn't sound all that long if you're talking about money that would otherwise just be sitting in a savings account or a CD. So I think that's really great. Now, how do we ultimately work together to change our individual behavior to promote more of these climate positive choices that are impacted by fintech?
Yeah. So, you know, to your point, if you have kind of idling cash sitting somewhere with an institution that you don't necessarily agree with what they are putting that money to, then this can serve as a really great alternative. And we have heard that in terms of people taking their money out of Vanguard or TIAA and reallocating it towards projects that really align with what they want to put their money to. And the thing about funding these projects is they have a very outsized impact in terms of climate because they are decarbonizing the electricity system. And why that matters is because as we're seeing more EVs come into the picture, that means greater electricity demand. And if that doesn't come from renewables, it's going to come from gas. And so kind of really targeting that first and foremost unlocks a lot of other innovation and a lot of other decarbonization.
Yeah. In our local area here in California, I mean, I'm probably a part of the same electricity fund that you are, where you actually, PG&E is really just giving you the line to your house, but we're working through green energy here. And so it's interesting to see that I heard something from PG&E about a year ago when we were having a lot of brownouts or unplanned blackouts, let's put it that way. They'd say things like during heat waves, well, we have enough electricity to electrify your air conditioning or your EVs, but perhaps not both, at least at height of usage. And so during the pandemic when we had a heat wave, just as a for example, a lot of people weren't driving. So they weren't taking their car to work and plugging in at work. They're plugging in at home and it might be plugged in during the day. And then suddenly the grid is overloaded and we have a blackout for 5 hours. So this is something that needs to be addressed from an infrastructure perspective. It's also important to note that there's quite a bit of government funding behind these projects at this particular time. And so the projects, and I think in some ways have less risk because the funding is more sure for at least a bulk of the projects that are taking off. And that means that from my perspective, I would think this is, no, we're not giving financial advice, right? But perhaps less risky than some other, if you were to go and say, I want to use my money to fund green projects and I'm going to go find specific companies, do the research and put a little bit of money into those things. You may or may not see them come through the same way. I don't know. I'm just curious what your thoughts are along those lines.
You bring up a great point. And this is in part why the Inflation Reduction Act is so pivotal to renewable energy development. Is previously these incentives for renewable energy projects, they'd been kind of extended every 3 years, but they were at a phase of ramping down and no one really knew what was going to happen. And then with the Inflation Reduction Act, it created 10 years of certainty on those credits. And that's huge. That gives all of us that are looking at how do we get more of these projects built and interconnected and funded a lot more certainty as to where that funding can come from. And now, additionally, there were more incentives, you know, if you're using U.S. manufactured equipment, if you're using prevailing wages, so, you know, using unionized labor, if it's benefiting low-income communities or tribal communities, communities that are impacted by the energy transition, like coal country, all of those can be additional credits from the federal government to those projects, up to 70% of that system value. And so with that, it makes these projects that much more profitable and bankable. And that's a really big deal. And as we talk about kind of tax credits, that's very in the weeds. But from a high level, the government has really leaned in to say, hey, we want to supercharge the deployment of this infrastructure. And now getting into this asset class is that much more attractive because of those credits and uncertainty.
So given that, what have you been able to achieve so far with Climatize specifically?
Yeah, so through Climatize in just the last 7 months, so we got our regulatory membership in the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, registered with the SEC in April of 2023, launched a platform in May, and have already seen over $2 million invested into our platform. And that's helped us fund 5 solar projects for family-owned businesses across the country. The 6th one raised over $80,000 in 3 days. And then we've just launched a new project as of today for a family-owned farm. And some of these are backed by federal grants. Others are those operating projects that I mentioned. And so, again, we're seeing very localized projects that have real tangible community impact, which has been really exciting and validating for us because as young members of the younger generation, you know, I really feel a responsibility to go and attack this problem and kind of help us find a more sustainable future because inaction is just not an option.
So I'm curious how you vet the projects that you choose to fund. Like what specifically are you looking at and what projects get greenlighted? If there's a few qualities that essentially make them come through.
Sure. Yeah. So this is where my background as a renewable energy engineer comes in. We have a proprietary due diligence process that we created with the Department of Energy in their National Community Solar Partnership. And we're looking at, you know, the developer's track record, how many projects have they successfully built with how many utilities. We're going to be looking at operations and maintenance contracts. Are they picking good equipment suppliers? What's the quality of that power off-taker? So do they have good credit or a pool of off-takers? What's the credit worthiness there? You know, we're going to be looking at what's their execution plan for this specific project, if it's construction or if it's already built. It's already built, how much power is it generating? And from that, how much cash flow is it generating? You know, we're going to be looking at, do they have all the right environmental studies, permits in place, roof leases, things like that. So, I mean, we have a checklist that we run through. And then from there, we generally greenlight about 60% of the projects that have come to us. In particular, the ones that have these federal grants are easier for us to get onto the platform because they've already had third-party due diligence as well as CPA audits of the financials, which makes it a lot easier for us.
Yeah, I could understand that. And they've essentially done a lot of the heavy lifting for you in that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at that point, then also the grant by the federal government is kind of what the investor is investing against rather than the project performance.
Is there a particular project that you have presently funded that you find particularly exciting? I think it would help to make this real for the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's one that I found particularly touching, and it was a family-owned hardware store built in the rural South in Tennessee. And the building was built in 1849. So it was originally servicing horses and carriages.
Yeah, you could probably even have the streets or a certain width for that and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. And they had gotten their roof renovated. So that was all done. And then John and Angela had owned their business since 1948. And they were then this long-term family-owned business, multiple generations. And they had received one of these federal grants. Through that, the project was funded in 21 days. And really great feel-good story, interview with the families. And that project is already in construction. Already building that project shortly afterwards, and it closed the day after Christmas. So, you know, really exciting to kind of see that when these developers are funded, they can move very quickly towards actually going and building these projects. And once it comes to life and, you know, we're able to actually go and see the project, I'll have to check in with you again and maybe share some of the images.
Well, I'm curious to know if that was also a historic site and if they had different permitting issues as a result, like, because you're talking about something from the 1840s. And often here we run into that sort of issue. It's a historic site, so therefore you can't do certain things on the property. And I think getting them ready for solar on the roof might be a little bit more challenging in those cases, but who knows? Regulations change? No.
Yeah, it's my co-founder is really the one who worked the most closely with the project developers on that one. So I don't know the specifics of the kind of historical site permits and whatnot, but I do know that they had at least gotten the roof redone before getting the solar system.
Yeah. Well, what do they say? Anytime. When I had solar installed on my house, they had to determine that the roof could last for 25 years. But I have had friends who had historic buildings and they literally, everything down to the paint color had to be approved because it was considered a historic site and they didn't want to use colors of paint that weren't available in that. Pretty restrictive, depending on the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know we've talked a bit about this, but I'm hoping to make it real for people too. Perhaps you could share an example of how crowdfunding really increases accessibility for both the investment opportunity and the project sponsors themselves. Like how much more quickly does capital flow in? Is it able, do you have some statistics? I can't say this word today, statistics about that.
Yeah. So with the projects themselves, it's actually, while we can move very fast on them, there was a very underbanked sector of projects that were just not getting funded. And that's where we can really play a very meaningful role. And this is not because they were poor deals, rather that it was just of a size and scale that was not interesting to the Wall Street banks that want to cut that $100 million check. And so these were projects that perfectly bankable, but just overlooked. If you go and talk to the developers, they'll say, yeah, you know, I have this $500,000 deal, but no community bank is going to come and touch this because they don't understand solar economics. And that's fine. That's an opportunity for Climatize to come in and really bring this kind of bottoms up climate movement to help support projects in the community that would otherwise be overlooked by the traditional financial channels. And honestly, Climatize, kind of part of the impetus of this is to step around those gatekeepers that in many ways it feels like there's been kind of a failure of top down action. Because we're still, to your point, seeing Chase fund these major fossil fuel projects. But despite the commitments at the government level, we're not seeing it, you know, to the degree and extent that we really need to really hit these scientific targets. And so that's what Climatize is here to do, is help us say, hey, look, we want to take this upon ourselves to fund these projects. And we can see the benefits not only from the energy projects, but the financial yield of those projects as well. And so it's helping drive, in particular, community solar, which has been the subsector of solar that we've really been focusing on. So it's not so much that we're, say, deploying capital faster than banks, even though, and many times we are, It's that we're serving a underbanked sector of clean energy projects that might not exist without us.
Yeah. Well, what do they say? Money flows where energy goes, and perhaps the reverse of that too. Energy flows where money goes. And so we need to create those kind of flows of cash into these projects so that they can get the funding they need to grow. I mean, it takes money to do any of these things at this juncture. I'm just waiting for the time in which we make the big investment, let's say in the state of California and elsewhere where we have these, let's just say, wind-related fires taking hold to move all of our energy lines underground so that we have less fires. I know that there's a big movement for that now on Hawaii and in California, and it's something in particular I would like to see funded as quickly as possible. I wonder if you have any knowledge or awareness of projects to do that in our home state of California.
Mm-hmm. In terms of undergrounding lines, that's really on the utilities themselves to take upon, because they're the ones that ultimately own and operate the grid infrastructure. And so unfortunately, that's not going to be a private markets project that we could ever really get involved with, unfortunately. It's a good measure to take. It's definitely very expensive, but I think that applied in the right places, it can make a big difference. Because here in Santa Cruz, my family in 2018 and in 2020, the CZU fire and then the subsequent one, Cal Fire built the fire line in our backyard. And so it's very personal, because we often think of climate change impacting in faraway countries in 2050. And the reality is it's here and it's now. And we need to be, you know, reacting at that same degree of urgency.
Yeah. Well, and your community in particular was impacted by both and also flooding. So it's like we're seeing both sides of that coin. I'm on a hill in Scotts Valley. We got so much rain at once with these atmospheric rivers and bomb cyclones hitting Capitola that people are flooding where they didn't before. And it's more severe. And so we need something faster often than seems to be feasible with these large utility-driven projects. I don't know the solutions in sight. So I was just curious if there was some impact we could have, because I just have no trust in PG&E any longer.
It's a big part of why we started Climatize, is because we believe that whether you have $10,000 or $10 to invest, there is a place for that money, and that it can go to building projects that do directly drive decarbonization.
Oh, I have another question that's somewhat unrelated, but because you are in the financial technology space, I thought I'd ask it. I mentioned a little bit earlier that Chase Bank, as a for example, invests a lot in fossil fuel projects. All of the big banks essentially do. They've diversified their interests, and most of us bank with the big banks. So I wondered if you had any thoughts on whether people should be considering local credit unions or banks, and if they're generally speaking greener, if there are better places to put and hold your money than some of these, let's say the large three that are funding so many climate destructive projects, let's just call them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say that that's hard to say from a, call it, community bank level. Very hard to know what they are ever really banking. And oftentimes they're going to be more local commercial clients. There are kind of climate first banks that have really leaned in, that all of their deposits go to financing renewable energy projects. There's maybe Atmos, Amalgamated Bank, Beneficial State Bank, just to name a couple that I know of off the top of my head. And with those are somewhere where your deposits will be going specifically to kind of causes that may align more closely with climate action or community impact.
Well, thank you for that. I know it was somewhat off topic, but as we look at fintech, I think we also need to think about how we store and use our money. Like, I was even having a conversation with a local bank earlier this week, Bay Federal, which is a credit union in the Santa Cruz area, and asking them questions about their business practices. And, you know, if I moved my money there, what would it look like and how does it impact our community? And even in that case, it impacts our community because they actually have many more local employees beyond just somebody at a branch office. But they also, they're more mindful of their money going to different projects that are also locally funded. So I think taking a step and just asking these questions as you consider who you bank with is another step in a positive direction. And it's an impact that we can each have, because heck, you got to have access to your funds and you probably have direct deposit. So choose a bank that can make more impact. And the days that your money rests in their account, it's going to be doing more good passively while you're going about your day.
Yeah. You know, money is just a very high leverage point when it comes to impact, whether it's investing or banking. Both buckets are very, very high impact.
Yeah, you think about it. The bank invests your money while they have it. And even if they have it for a matter of days, it's like, you know, they essentially day trade too. So they're making impact with it on the daily. Now, this stage in our conversation, I like to ask all of my guests to really just think about the closing takeaways that they'd like for our audience. And if there's a question that I haven't already asked that perhaps you wish I had, you could ask and answer it as part of that. So I'll leave the floor for you.
Sure. Yeah. I guess a good question at a very high level is just, why does this matter? Why does Climatize matter to me and in my life? And I think the answer for me has been, if you're frustrated with the status quo of seeing how things are progressing and don't feel like they're moving at the rate that you really want them to see or that you really want to see, this is a really great way for you to become an active stakeholder and drive this action at a very local, transparent level and see the impact of your money in specifically climate projects and something that has a very tangible outcome with a human impact. That's what you're looking to play your hand in. Then I encourage you to go and take a look at Climatize and see if it aligns with what you're looking to achieve.
Well, I have something else to add to this, because I think that what you're doing and how you're doing it epitomizes a mantra that I like to keep in my daily purview, which is to simply think globally and act locally. So I want to globally see money going in the right direction to impact climate change and actually reduce global warming and still global cooling again, draw down carbon. And so from a local perspective, if I can invest resources that I might otherwise put into another project that's equally risky, and instead I can see the impact on my local environment and in my local community and in jobs in my backyard and the fiscal responsibility of this area and the taxes that go into our school system and everything else, then I can feel better about my day-to-day. And to your earlier point, being able to even just drive over and visit one of these construction projects to see what progress has been made is something that has a greater impact. I really like what you've put together. I think it's a very creative use of current technology and fintech and something as simple as an app to reach more people. And I have to say, as an Android user, I am very grateful that you're coming out with that app that will probably be done by the time this podcast airs. And so my hope is that when we launch this episode, that I can include links to both the app stores to just be agnostic for people so they can really easily access that and expand their portfolio of apps on their phone and just give it a try.
Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you as a beta tester.
Yeah, you know, so I'm happy to beta test if you want to give me early approval. Let me know. Well, thank you so much for joining me today to have this discussion. I really appreciate your time and the work that you and your co-founder are doing. I know going from marching in the streets to making this shift and change to get people to think about fintech differently is a big shift. I think you can have equally impactful results from this, if not more. So thank you so much for your work.
Thank you so much, Karina. It's been a pleasure.
As always, I will be sure to include links to where you can learn more about Will Wiseman and Climatize in our show notes and, of course, in our expanded blog at caremorebebetter.com. When you visit our website, you'll see the entire transcripts for this episode and also links to other relevant work, including that episode with Zach Stein of the Carbon Collective specifically. And so you can dive into how you could even have more impact with your 401k if you so chose. Now, I also wanted to just take a moment and really reflect on the impact that each of us can have with the dollars that we have and the dollars that we save. If we can think more mindfully about who we bank with and who we invest with, then the work that we do every day will have a greater impact. Now, if you enjoyed today's episode, I really hope that you'll subscribe wherever you're picking this up. Leave us a review. 5-star rating, give us a thumbs up or a comment. All of those actions help more people to discover this show. And I want to thank each of you for sticking with us through this episode. Thank you for being a part of this pod and this community, because together we really can do so much more. We can care more. We can be better. We can even stop using yesterday's energy, build green solutions for all people and all industries, and bring about the global cooling that we all so desperately need. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Care More, Be Better, a podcast for social good. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And share with your friends to help us reach more people and spread more social good.